He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Awesome. So I'm specifically excited to have you on. I think you're the first performing strongman that I've had on.
Possibly. I'm not that familiar with some of your guests. I know that some of them I've actually met through the community of steel bending strongmen. And I do think that more of us actually really need to get out there and perform and show it what it is that we do, because it changes what people think is possible and it keeps the art form alive.
Yeah, it's cool. I really like it. And I think it's most people's entryway into it is actually through the performing strongmen. And then maybe they discover the red nail and like other certifications and kind of get swept up into that. But for the most part, it seems like, you know, Dennis Rogers and other people like that seem to be the gateway for people. And then it's interesting that the most people kind of veer towards the way of chasing certs and things like that.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I wanted to shed light on how I got involved in this. So I've been a personal trainer since like 2002, 2003. As a matter of fact, I'm actually broadcasting out of my personal training studio over in Bhutan. And being a personal trainer, I had always looked for different ways of training people for strength and stuff like that. I got into this from reading about the old timers from books by Pavel, where they would use kettlebells. And I was just fascinated by the idea that these guys were able to do amazing things in an era that predated steroids. So the way specifically I got into this is I bumped into an up-and-coming strongman at the time named David the Iron Tamer Whitley at a conference for personal trainers. And Dave and I had like an instant friendship right off the bat. So we were going to go out to dinner, and he invites me up to his room to kill some time before dinner. And he pulls out his suitcase, which had nails and horseshoes and stuff like that in it. And he's bending them, and I'm like, wow. And also through internet stalking, Dave, I saw it was a promo video for Dennis Rogers. And Dave had also rolled up some frying pans and gave them to me. So I owe him a lot of credit for that. And I was like, how on earth is any of this possible? So Dave is like, you like this stuff, huh? I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And he's like, you know, there's a conference that meets every year in Newark that's happening in a week or so. And Dennis Rogers is going to be there, and like a lot of the modern day steel bending strongmen are going to be there. You want to go as my guest? I'm like, hell yeah. Uh-huh. Like this is my opportunity to interview Superman himself about the secrets of Kryptonian strength. So it was at this conference that I met Slim the Hammerman Farman. Slim is a legendary strongman. He was the top student of the mighty Adam, who is a vaudeville-era strongman that was not that much bigger than me. I'm not a big guy. I'm like 155 pounds of fury and sex appeal, right? So the Mighty Adam was about my size, and he could do things like bite through nails, bite through chains, hold back airplanes from taking off with his hair, stuff like that. So when I met Slim, now he's in his 80s. At the time, he was in his late 70s. And you've never met Slim, have you?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Slim is tall, and he has this real intense look about him, and the musculature in his arm makes him look like it looks like the bark of a tree. Like, Slim is super intense, where I sometimes tell people if they ever make a movie of my life, and I am supposed to be the one in charge of casting actors, the one that I would have play the part of Slim would be the Terminator, not Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actual robot without the skin, right?
Yeah.
So Slim says to me, he's like, son, did you know that there is a power within you that is equal to every strongman in history, including myself? So I was like, what is this power you speak of?
Wow.
And Slim proceeds to tell me that there's like numerous instances where ordinary people are able to perform superhuman feats of strength when put into crisis situations. He's like, it's got to make you wonder if that power is within them at that exact moment when they need it most. Isn't it inside of all of us? The question is, how do you bring it out? Now, that provided food for thought. And a couple of years later, when I was going through a hardship at like one of the hardest periods of my life, I was going through a divorce. My first wife left me for the one that I thought was my best friend. And I was like devastated. And I just needed something to get my mind off of everything that was going on. And it was as I was like sitting at this conference, wondering what the future held, because my marriage was essentially dead on arrival. Guy by the name of New Jersey Superman, Greg Matonic, happened to be seated to my right, and he offers to take me under his wing and teach me the ways of bending steel. And it was in Greg's gym that I discovered a lot of what I was capable of. It helped me completely transform my identity from being Eric Moss, so-and-so's other half, to being Eric Moss, the strong man. And when I was in Greg's gym, it was like, that place is special. You know, like when I was there, it was like I had uncovered this treasure trove. And I actually modeled my training studio of it. Since this is a video recording, I'll show you just a little bit around. I mean, this place is kind of a mess because I've been super busy since the pandemic, but am I able to turn this thing around? How do I do that? Ah, here. Okay. So this is, it's a license plate I ripped from a YouTube series I started called Feats of Strength Friday, where each Friday until life returns to normal, I perform a different feat of strength like you might catch in one of my live performances. This one happened to be the license plate that I did. This is a picture of me performing in a college. This was my one of my very first shows, the first time I appeared on an actual stage with like a curtain and everything. That's also what happened to be on the cover of my book. This was a promotional poster from a show that I did with Hercules, Chris Ryder, as well as many of the other top performers. that happened to be like the final chapter of my book. That's a copy of my world record. More pictures of me in action. This is a promotional poster from a show I did here in town. So this is a chain of frying pans. Each one of these I had done in a show. This is a chain of nails. I did these for practice and because I wanted to capture people's attention as they walked by my place, like this fellow who has no idea what he just walked past. This is another chain of frying pans.
Awesome.
This is my book. There's a picture of the mighty Adam. I'm going to take a step outside, show you what's on the door, because this was also something that I had seen when I was in Greg Matonic's place. Is like when you see that on the door, you know you're about to walk into something special.
Yeah.
And then up on the crown of the place are steel bars. Each one of these I had done in a show. There's up top there. And nice. That's not even all of them either. Okay, how do I turn this thing around again? There we go.
All right. Yes. Nice.
Yeah, so one of the things, and this is kind of how I put my show together, is when people saw me performing feats of strength, they'd be like, how on earth did you get into this? What's the secret? And it's like, when I was with Greg, I was also reading some personal development books at the time, and I'm like, oh my God, this stuff is the same. You know? And that became like the fodder of my motivational speech, which accompanies my show.
Nice. Nice. So how many years ago was it that you decided that you wanted to start performing?
Well, it was when I was with Greg, that was 2011, 2012.
Okay.
And I actually didn't even at the time have intentions of performing. I just wanted to learn the secrets.
Yeah.
But after the first time I bent a steel bar on the bridge of my nose, he's like, that's it. It's official. You're an old-time performing strongman. When you feel ready, I want you to send a thing to the newspapers and tell them like I'm available for shows. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You think I can do shows? I'm like the guys did during vaudeville. I'm like, that'd be so cool. And I'm not a big guy, but I always felt like I was meant for the stage. I had dabbled in bands, but I'm not that musically talented. I'm fascinated with the idea of professional wrestling, but I am not a big guy at all. You know, 5'7", 155 pounds of fury and sex appeal, right? So the idea of being a pro wrestler just probably wasn't in the cards. But I'm like, the fact that I can bend steel and like use my strength and also use it as like a method to inspire people, I think is pretty special, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I like tying the two together for sure, because it really is a large portion of, and I've heard different answers about this, but to me, you need a certain amount of belief that you can do it, right? And that could be, you know, training your nervous system to fire quicker, and maybe there's a scientific explanation for it, but seeing guys bend huge pieces of steel gives me the belief that it can be done, right? And then that unlocks a little bit more of the strength that maybe I possess, you know. If I never saw someone bend a whatever, like a grade 5 bolt or something like that, I probably wouldn't be able to do it, because I just wouldn't think it was possible. But the fact that I've seen other people do it just unlocks a little bit in my mind. And I think there's 100% a mental aspect to this.
Of course. You know, like the way I try to describe it to people is, let's say that there is, that our body is like a chain, right? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Now, so that your brain will send a command signal through your central nervous system to tell your muscle fibers to contract them. Muscle fibers contract, pulling on tendon, which pulls on bone, and that is how movement occurs. Along the way, there's like a thing called the governor, that can be inside of your mind. It could be inside of your body. That if it thinks that there's something that's going to be dangerous, it puts the brakes on and withholds you from expressing your true strength. Now, for many people, the weakness is in the body, because the body does not want to break. But if the body is trained, then it is the weakness of the mind that holds you back. And it is sometimes the weakness of the mind that holds people back in life.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was your, did you have an athletic background before you discovered this stuff? You were a personal trainer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I lifted weights and my body reacted well to the weights, but I was not a star athlete or anything like that when I was a kid. In fact, the people that knew me then and then that see me now, they're like, you're the same guy. How is that possible? You know?
Yeah. Or any other type of like sports or anything like that? I'm finding that a lot of the guys that get into bending maybe spend some time rock climbing or grappling or did you do any of those things?
I did have a natural inclination towards martial arts. Mm-hmm. You know, like any game that involved throwing or catching a ball, for whatever reason, I stink at. You know, like if we're going to play a game of pickup basketball, don't pick me for your team. Just trust me on that. And I thought I was uncoordinated until it came time to like throw kicks and punches and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this actually kind of feels natural. Same thing with breaking boards, you know?
Cool. Yeah. I think the reason I got into all of this was I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt, trained most days of the week. When lockdown came, found myself without my main passion, you know, got heavily into weightlifting, and from there and just researching things, I found grips for it. And then from there I found bending and stuff like that. And I definitely think there's a lot of through lines between martial arts and steel bending for sure.
So you just came into this then?
Yeah.
From the pandemic?
May, I got my first bag of nails.
Wow. How's it going?
It's going really well. You know, like I'm what you might call a pretty obsessive guy. And, you know, I really hurl myself into the things that I get interested in. And this I quite liked very much, you know, and there wasn't a resource like this. Nowadays, when I get into something, I usually turn to some podcasts to find out more information about it. And I didn't see too many interviews with steelbenders. And I, you know, asked a few people in the community and they're like, no, they're, you know, there's This Week in Grip with Jed and Alan, but nothing that kind of specific to steelbending. And I'd wanted to do a podcast, but, you know, there's maybe 1,000 jiu-jitsu podcasts and music and my other interests and stuff like that. It just didn't seem like the world needed another one of those. So when I saw there was somewhat of a void in this community, and I had time on my hands too, so I just jumped at the idea to do this. And it's been a lot of fun to me because I get to talk to everybody and get, you know, firsthand advice on everybody's training methods. And it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in terms of like not really being a podcast and for the community, I'm like, there's really a small community. I was like, there's not that many people to interview. We're out there, but there's just not very many of us.
Yeah, well, I've had no trouble booking guests so far. And my mission with it was not to just interview guys that are elite, you know, I wanted like something to relate to everybody. So, you know, I've had on a couple guys from England the other week that are fairly new to it. And they're like more into the steel snapping because they work with David Horn. And I wanted a whole spectrum of abilities and experience levels, you know, some of the elite heavy hitters that come to mind when you talk about steel bending, some, you know, performing strongmen like yourself, maybe some new guys that are just approaching the ability to do the red nail, whatever. I just wanted it kind of as a resource, like where people could listen and just get different ideas for training. You know, that's some of the best stuff I ever got for jiu-jitsu was listening to coaches, and they didn't have to have a stable of star athletes, you know, but maybe they had one little thing that I'd pick up and I'd take to my classes, you know? So you mentioned bending steel across the bridge of your nose. That's your world record, right?
Yeah, and that's my finale feat that finishes off my show.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about that. Like, when was that? And, you know, what does it feel like to hold a world record?
So the world record, it's kind of like having a tattoo. It's like when you get it, I guess it's kind of hardest to wrap your mind around getting the first one, but as you already know, judging by the look of your arms, once you have one, you're like, I feel like I should get another one. You know, the only thing is the bending steel on the bridge of my nose was special to me because like that was the one that Greg had said that is like, it's official, you're an old time performing strongman. But there's also a bit more of a backstory behind that. See, that was when I was training with Greg and I was progressing very quickly in bending steel. He was like, there's a feat that I want to teach you. It to me is the very epitome of everything it means to be a steel bending strongman. So he tells me it's bending steel on the bridge of my nose. Now I know that Slim back in the day had done it and he was paying some pretty hefty tolls from it, going blind in one of his eyes. And he had shooting pains going down his arm from crushing the vertebrae in his neck. And I'm like, Greg, I don't think I want to learn that feat. And he's like, okay, I respect that. But if you learn this one feat, it could make you one of the top guys. You could be one of the best in the world. So I'm like, I sat on that about a week. And, you know, like, I hadn't gone into this because it normally is just part of the motivational speech that accompanies my show. But I was told by my second grade teacher that I was a lazy little boy that would never amount to anything. I was picked on all throughout elementary and middle school because I have attention deficit disorder and I was medicated accordingly. And then I was also, you know, tossed aside like yesterday's garbage by my first wife and stabbed in the back by the one I thought was my best friend. I'm like, you know, after everything I've been through, just once I'd like to be one of the best at something. So I came back the next week and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And I happened to get it on the first try. And he was like, oh, I knew you would get it. I didn't think you'd get it on the first try.
Okay.
And that's when he told me, he was like, it's official. Now I was like, taking what he had said, that I could be one of the top guys, I was like, that became obvious what I should do for my world record, you know? And technically having that world record makes it kind of official.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's the what's the dimensions on the steel for something like that?
For the world record or for my top ones?
Either or. Is it 36 or 48? Just so I can get some kind of reference. I've seen the video, but I'm just not sure.
So the I'll just read it. Hold on, let me just turn this around so people can get a visual too. All right. So Eric Moss, most rebar bent across, it was 48 inches at half inch to an inner measurement of 42 inches or less.
Gotcha.
Basically, when you're doing the world record, they have to take your least bent bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's standard, basically standard manufacturing length of 48 inches. Some of them may be a little bit more. Some of them might be a little bit less.
I
basically just get it at whatever the hardware store sells.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Now, for some of the bigger corporate gigs or for like my TEDx, the one that I had done, I do the 5/8. 5/8 round. That's about the width of your thumb.
5/8 round?
Yeah.
Yep.
That one looks nasty.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm experimenting with some 5/8 round bends myself, not across the bridge of my nose by any means, just like a braced bend, you know, start on the knee and then finish it between my legs. And I can't imagine doing that across the nose. So that's real impressive. And you did so many, you basically ran out in the video I saw. You went to grab another one and you just didn't have any.
Yeah. You know, it's like when we talk about how like it's in the mind. So before there wasn't really anything established before I did it. Right. So I figured having done enough of those rebars over the years, I'm like, you know, I bet I can do 5, optimistically 6 or 7. And I packed 8 because that's what I just happen to have. I was like, there's no way I'm going to get 8. Right. So I'm pacing around on stage and trying to throw all those negative thoughts and stuff out of my mind and just get to that completely focused place. So after I had done all of them, it's like, if you actually look at me looking at my feeder, I look confused. She's like, that's it. I'm like, I don't understand. What do you mean? That's it. How's it? How?
She's
like, that's it. And then there was like still like 10 seconds left on the clock. Something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's like after it all hits and I come back to reality, then it's like womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. So what are some of the other ones that you're most proud of? You know, obviously a world record, it's hard to top, but were there particular feats as you were acquiring feats to do in your show that you took a lot of pride in mastering? Or
actually, I mean, so the feats, it kind of answers the question, but it kind of not. So one of the things I'm big on is performing. Mm-hmm. It's not just about how hard the stuff is that we can bend, although that can set a new belief in what's possible is when you see people doing some ridiculous things. But at some point too, it can be a bit of a, for lack of a better term, a dick measuring contest. And I don't like to make it about that. I'm like, maximizing what it is that I can do. So some of the wrenches I've done are pretty rough. But in terms of like what I'm most proud of is I'll go and do a show. And so it's like, you can't affect everyone. but you can affect someone. And then that someone like completely changes their life around because of something I did or something I said. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of bigger than bending a short piece of steel, at least for me. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I totally get. Yeah. That's like a one step back, you know, but that's absolutely something to be proud of, you know, totally, you know, changing someone's life for the better like that. I've certainly had that experience in teaching martial arts, and you know, that's, you know, you can't put a price tag on that. That's a total unique feeling, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah. You know, it was like, so like my career was starting to go into more corporate motivational speaking, right? It's like there's more money to be made in corporate entertainment / motivational speaking. And I remember distinctly thinking my message was going over the heads of some of these elementary schools that I was performing in. I was like, how on earth are these kids going to really understand what I'm talking about? They're just here to see the feats. I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. They can't pay what it is that I want to, what I want to get paid, et cetera, et cetera. And I was heading towards what I thought would be the last elementary school I ever did. And I get ambushed in the parking lot after the show. I mean, it wasn't even my best show. I'm glad it wasn't my last, because it was just, I don't know, I was off that day. Probably because I went into it with the wrong mindset, right?
Yeah.
So this woman ambushes me in the parking lot, and she's like thanking me for coming and doing the show. And she says that her granddaughter goes to that school, and her parents are going through divorce from like an abusive father, and it was just so nice to have something positive go in there. And I'm like, do you really think that they understand what I'm talking about? And she's like, yeah, kids don't have like motivational audios and stuff like that. They don't have personal development tapes for kids, and they're not driven to listen to them either. So they kind of need someone like me to go in there and talk to them. And as I'm like driving on the way home, I'm like, I don't want to get all spiritual, because like people can run from stuff like that. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't ignore signs when they're like as plainly obvious as that. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
So I'm like, I'm going to continue doing it that way. I'm going to continue performing for elementary schools. And then it's like, as I'm doing these elementary schools, I'm like looking at these kids. I'm like, some kid here today and that needs to hear what it is that I want to say to them, and I don't know who it is, but I just hope it lands on the right ears, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, I have two sons. One's 9 and one's just 6 months, and there's something about it coming from someone else, you know. You did, as a dad or as a parent, you can't always relay that type of information. It's sometimes good to hear it from somewhere else. Are you familiar with Jocko Willink? You know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
So my son is way into Jocko. Like, he also does jujitsu, so he thinks that's cool. And Jocko's written a bunch of kids' books and has a children's podcast too. So like, that's someone that gives my son a bunch of inspiration and teaches those lessons of overcoming hardship and stuff like that. So I think what you're doing is really cool. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Kids, they don't get that kind of stuff. And, you know, teachers are maybe overworked and underpaid or whatever, but I don't think they're in there necessarily motivating the kids. So I think it's cool what you're doing.
It's like same thing with like, I mean, so it's different when it comes from parents. It's different when it comes from teachers also. But and sometimes it just, you need that other person.
Yeah.
The other thing was like, you know, it's kind of going back to that other question is, I've done a number of like middle schools and high schools, and the amount of suicides that I've heard of, it's like, what is going on with these kids, man? They need to hear this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. So with the people that you're training, are you training people in the feats of the old-time strongmen, or are you just giving them normal, like, are you training a spectrum of people as far as just for normal weight loss goals, muscle gain, all that kind of stuff?
it's normal weight, like weight loss, muscle gain, basically any number of reasons why people hire a normal personal trainer. Yep. But one of the central premises of my training system is that everybody has the power to lift a car off of a human already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So training is really about getting their body to grant them access to just a bit more of this power. So they gain these strength, they gain strength quickly, and then they get excited about strength, which is one of the things that I wanted to do, is I wanted people to be excited about strength. And I feel like training with a steel bending strongman, it just adds that cool factor, you know?
For sure. Absolutely. So what's, I've seen on your YouTube channel, you took the viewers through some isometric training the other day. What's like a normal training week look like for you? Do you have a normal routine, or are you kind of just doing this and that as you feel is needed?
Doing this and that, like the only normal part of my routine currently is I'm assuming you saw that video of how I train with training footage and knowledge bombs dropped.
Yep.
That YouTube video, right?
Yep.
The only thing that I have in there is always there for the most part. And I say for the most part, cause like today I didn't do it. It's those isometrics, those brace bend isometrics. And that's really just because there's specific carryover from them to the feats of strength. And I feel like there's something to be said for going into something, knowing that you're not going to succeed, and giving it everything you've got anyways, because it's a skill. It's a skill that needs to be strengthened, right?
Yeah.
I'm also big in the strong first lifts, RKC lifts, like swings, get-ups, overhead presses. I just try to keep it mostly full body, whatever kind of feels right to me that day. And I listen to my body. It's like, I don't give every session all I've got. That's just a good way to get injured to me. I save that for the stage, or if you're a mixed martial arts, the cage, you know?
Yeah. How about, I usually ask the guests about recovery and mobility stuff. Do you do anything for that kind of stuff?
I just try to get plenty of sleep, you know, as much as I can, being a father of two young children.
Yeah. Yep. I can relate.
It's like, yeah, I know you can. It's like, we're not always afforded ideal scenarios, but you just do what you can with what you got, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So you already mentioned a few performing strongmen I've never heard of. Who, name a few guys that maybe, you know, people know Dave Whitley, people know Dennis Rogers, Pat Povilaitis too, potentially. Who are some of the, or Chris Ryder too, but who are some of the guys that people maybe should know about that they don't, that just don't have the hype as much?
I was gonna say, I want to punctuate Chris Ryder. He's my coach. He picked up after Greg died. The man is like a living encyclopedia of these feats of strength. It's like, if I have a question, I text him. He probably knows the answer. And it's like, I don't think he writes any of it down. I think it's just in his head.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of his, for sure.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think he's from this planet. I really don't. There's also Stainless Steel.
Yep.
Stainless Steel isn't as active anymore, but back in the day, like, he moves the immovable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just watched his movie on Amazon Prime. I had, like, seen it. Or like seen it advertised or something, but I never sat down and watched it. And I just watched it the other day, and I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Jersey too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Did you watch?
Nice from Jersey.
There seems to be like a hotbed of it, like over in the New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania area.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm like, I don't know why all of us are over here. And then there's like a couple guys over in the West Coast. There's also Sonny Barry. Sonny Barry was another student of Greg's. Let's see. Who else do I'm having like a moment here. Todd Jones is an up and comer. He's just like, his full-time job is as a stuntman. Oh, and then cool. he moonlights as a performing strongman, which is like crazy. It's yeah. Like I was talking to him. He's like, I'm not sure if I could come to Chris's workshop because I'm supposed to have a knife fight with The Rock. I'm like, it's like the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Wow. That is cool.
And then so I'll catch him. I'll see him in like some of my favorite shows. I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
That's great. So you're doing your Feet of Strength Friday, right?
Uh-huh.
So just tell the people a little bit about that. What you said, it's going to run until life picks back up to normal. And what's some of the ones you've done and where can people find that?
So there was a couple reasons that I started doing it. One was because I knew that if I needed to do something, you know, like with this whole pandemic shutting everything down, I lost a whole bunch of gigs that I had under contract. I'm like, I just need to do something to stay active, just to keep my feet wet and keep warm and stuff like that. And I knew that more people are going to be going onto YouTube, in which case it's like, we're in a kind of a unique time where each one of us, we don't need to have our own TV show. Like we could have our own station, you know?
Yeah.
Most kids are going onto YouTube. And one of the things that I had done prior to the pandemic was I created a performing strongman's vlog, basically chronicling every time I would do a show and like what my thoughts are and stuff like that. And trying to basically keep the flame alive.
Cool.
So with the Feats of Strength Friday, it was partially to keep my feet wet. Another was because I mainly do the same set of feats every single show. And it's like you can get a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Lackadaisical?
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm doing the same feats every show and just a couple of them rotate out. So this was also a way of stretching my capabilities while still entertaining people with them. So it's like, which ones had I done? It's like 21 or 22 videos in that playlist.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen you break a masonry bit, roll up two frying pans, tear a license plate. Damn, there's been more. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on there. It's cool.
See, if I remember off the top of my head, it was breaking a chain with my chest, breaking a lock that was on, like a padlock that was on shackles. I don't know if I did the 60. Did a horseshoe, did a steel bar barehanded, ripped a deck of cards while in the box.
Nice.
Ripped a deck of cards while inside the box behind my back. Ripped a deck of cards inside the box wrapped with duct tape. Ripped two phone books. Ripped the corner off of a deck of cards. Frying pan, double frying pan. I did a couple steel scrolls, the pretzel. The Zass scroll, the Mighty Atom scroll. What else? The masonry bit you mentioned.
Yeah.
The landscaping spike. I think I did a lag screw. Did the nail drive.
Yeah, so there. People should check it out. There's all kinds of stuff. It's not just steel bending. It's strongman feats of strength across the board. It's cool.
Yeah, there's more to come, too. I'm like, I hope this thing ends soon because I'm going to start running out of ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk a little bit about the motivation angle for your show. I find that's just something that's like hasn't been covered yet here on the show. It's unique to you. And I guess Dave Whitley does some of that stuff. Is you can just break down how you kind of integrate that into your performance.
So one of the things was, one of the first times I was performing at AOBS, that's like that conference where all the strongmen would congregate. I don't think that they're continuing to run, which is a bummer, because that conference was like some of the only time when I'd see some of my colleagues, you know? So I was performing on stage, and there was a motivational speaker and a sports psychologist over at Montclair State University. And he asked me to come talk to his class, and he would even bring me to some of his motivational speeches to illustrate his talking points. And I'm like, man, I could do this. And I asked him to mentor me in it. So one of the key things with motivational speaking is storytelling. Basically storytelling with a lesson built in. So I figured I would just tell my story. So it's like the way it's structured is like after I drive the nail through the board, I'm like, now that I've nailed down your attention, here's all the reasons why I shouldn't be doing this, right? Nice. Set the stage, like kind of surprise them. I also, I also do back-to-back feats of strength before that. So with like kind of like cocky one-liners. So it's like making myself like almost like Superman. So they're like, how on earth did this guy get so strong? And then I tell them, right? So I basically list the reasons why I shouldn't be able to do the things that I can do. And then I tell them about my time with Greg. I'm like, here's what I learned from Greg. Set your mind and focus on what it is that you want to do. And, you know, like when I talk about belief, I bring up a specific story. Let me just check the time, make sure we get still that time. Okay. So there was one time when I was in Greg's gym and he's like, bend this piece of steel. And I'm like looking at this thing. I'm like, I can't do that, Greg. And he's like, sure you can. I know you can. The problem is you don't know you can. So he takes me over to like his bench press. And this bench had a barbell that was suspended over with chains. And he's like, what you're going to do is you're going to do like narrow grip bench press lockouts. Right? Key thing is you're going to keep your eyes closed the entire time. So I lie down, close my eyes. He puts some weight on each side. He says, go. And I push it up. And he's like, keep your eyes closed. And he keeps adding weight on the bar.
Yep.
And then when I struggled on the last set, he's like, open your eyes. And he's like, points at the weight. And he's like, the strength it takes to lift up that weight is actually more than what's needed to bend that piece of steel. What's happening is because it's steel and you don't think you can do it. You're not quite giving it your all. You're holding yourself back. So I tell that story. And then I tell another story about how I was in his gym. And, you know, like he gave me a piece of steel and he's like, bend it. I'm like, okay, Greg, I totally got this. I was able to do everything else. So I start pulling on it hard and like nothing happens. So I'm like, the heck? I'm like, what am I doing? And I start pulling again really hard. Still nothing happens. I'm like, hey, Greg, what am I doing wrong? He's like, you're quitting. And he's like, and he could see I'm getting frustrated. And he's like, at that moment when it doesn't feel like it's going to go, at that moment when everything inside of you is telling you to stop, telling you to quit, give it just 5 more seconds and it'll bend. So I'm like, okay, Greg. So I start pulling on it really hard. And I wanted to stop. I wanted to quit. But right at that moment, when I was about to, I remembered what he said. 5 more seconds. And about 3 seconds later, the steel started to move. Now, I don't even think I necessarily have to explain the lesson that's built into that.
Yeah.
You know, like when you feel like quitting, it's just a little bit longer, you know?
Yeah.
Because you could be as little as 3 seconds away from being successful. And if you quit now, you'll never know for sure.
Absolutely. And it's a great feeling when that steel starts to move, for sure.
Yeah, you're like, this is going to happen. Just got to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, and then that just like invigorates you to like finish it up if you can.
Yeah.
All right, so in my show, I do what's called the medley. So this is just going to be a rapid fire series of questions, mostly to do with steel bending, some not to do with steel bending.
Okay.
All right, favorite thing to bend?
Oh man, you know, like I really enjoy the frying pans just because they get that reaction. But in terms of my personal favorite, I love when the wrenches go.
Yeah.
Because not all of them will. So I'm like, oh yes, this one works. You know?
All right. Hardest.
I also really love the steel. The hardest thing is those wrenches.
Yeah. All right.
You know, the wrenches, you know, like out of a pack of five, maybe two or three of them, or maybe one or two of them won't go.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know what you're going to get before you walk out on that stage. So when you know, like the hardest thing to do is like some of those wrenches.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Not knowing if it's going to go in a performance. That's nerve wracking. All right. How about the strongest bending style for you? I don't know if you do much, if you mix it up with the styles or not.
Bending style in what way?
Like generally when I have guys on here, they're either like a double overhand or braced style or maybe reverse or double underhand.
Short bends, short unbraced bends.
Or it could be just braced, you know, if you just like, you could even say the bridge of your nose.
I was going to say that, I mean, I'm strong. I hate saying I'm strongest at that because then it's like going back to that whole measuring contest.
Sure.
So for the short unbraced bends, I like to do a double overhand.
Uh-huh.
I also bend things in like the crook of my leg.
Okay.
You know, and I don't know if I can situate my, let's see. So when it comes to the long bars, after I take it under the leg, most guys, if they're holding the one end in their right hand, they'll put their left hand on their left leg.
Yeah.
I put it on my right leg. That's the way Greg taught me. And that's the way that always felt natural to me to do the final crush, that is.
Interesting. Cool.
And it's right, like only Greg's students seem to do that.
So you're gripping both hands on the bar on the same side or just the one?
Do I have a... All right, so here, check out this picture of the frying pan.
Okay.
Same thing with, that's the crush position that I mentioned.
Okay, I can picture it. All right, how about, what's something outside of weight training, steel bending, and strongman that you like to do?
Singing.
Nice.
I used to love karaoke singing.
Right on. That's cool. All right. How about, what's the one bend that's gotten away? Something that you've attempted that you just haven't been able to complete.
So one of the ones that is on the list is bending crowbars. I haven't quite gotten that one yet. And some of the steel bars that I'm using as a progression to work up to that have gotten the better of me.
All right.
It irritates me. I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a cool one when you get it, man. The crowbar will look awesome. All right. How about, who's the strongest person you know? Can be about steel bending or just strength in general.
Strongest person I know personally?
Yeah.
That one is not an easy one to answer. I'd have to think about that.
All right.
It's like, I know some people that have been through some stuff.
Yeah, we can come back to it.
I was gonna say, I don't even know if they were gonna want me to reveal their story, you know?
You don't have to. I mean, all right, how about, and what's the best piece of advice you were ever given? It could be about strength, bending, or just life in general.
One of the things that I would recommend to everybody is whatever it is that you want to achieve, chances are there's going to be someone that can help you along the way. And reach out to them. They might be more willing to give than you realize.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's firsthand experience with one of the reasons I wanted to do this was it seems like everybody reaches a point in their bending progression where they reach out to the guys that are very visible on Instagram or Facebook and be like, oh, you know, how do I get from an iron mind blue nail to the red nail or something like that? And that's what I was like, oh, you know, maybe if there was a place where people were vocalizing more of their experience, then, you know, people would get a little more firsthand stuff like that.
I mean, the reason that I can do the things that I can do is because I was coached by Greg Matonic before he died. And then I continued being coached by Hercules Chris Ryder. You know, the reason that I can rip things is directly attributed to him.
Yeah. All right. What's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out what you spend your time doing?
The funniest reaction. I got a fun story.
All right.
I shouldn't say it's the funniest reaction, but it is a fun story. So a couple years back, I had a taillight out when I was driving, and I get pulled over in the town where I was living in at the time. And the cops that pulled me over, they're like, don't worry, you're not really in any trouble or anything, but I just needed to pull you over. And they didn't even really cite the reason that they pulled me over. He takes a flashlight and starts poking around my car looking for anything suspicious. At the time, I had a guitar amp back there. And he's like, are you a musician? I'm like, I used to be. Now I just use it as a makeshift PA system for my strongman shows. And he's like, huh? What are you talking about? What is that? I'm like, I bend steel bars. I break chains. Roll up frying pans, I twist horseshoes, all as part of a live show. And he's like, get out of here. You really do that? And I'm like, yeah, I really do that. And he's like, you have anything here? I'm like, I don't know. Let's find out. So I'm like, I'm getting out of the car. So I open the back seat and I start looking around and I find the steel bar. I'm like, I got a steel bar here. I could bend it if you want me to. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm like, okay. I'm like, make sure you put your lights on this so you can see what's going on. He's like, wait. Can I call my friends? And I'm like, you're in charge of whether or not I get a ticket. You call whoever you want. So he gets on his walkie-talkie. He's like, got to come see this. And then he's like, he'll be here in a couple of minutes. He goes to she's my wife. At the time, she was my girlfriend. Knocks on her window. He's like, I'm sorry for embarrassing you like this, ma'am. And she's like posting the thing on Facebook. She's like, no, it's okay. So the other car pulls up. Lights are blazing, right? He gets out of the car. He's like, so-and-so, this is Eric. Hi, Eric. Nice to meet you. Eric's going to bend that steel bar. Get out of here. You're really going to do that? Yeah, I'm really going to do that. He's really going to do that. So then I hold up the steel bar. I show it to them. I bend it. And they're clapping and everything. And I was like, now you can keep it as a souvenir so you can always remember that one time you pulled over that one guy who bent stuff. 2 weeks later, in the exact same spot, I get pulled over again. He's like, you came off the highway a little fast. I was like, no, I didn't. I'm like, I knew how fast I was going. I wasn't going that fast. So he starts looking around my car. He's like, so what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a personal trainer, but I'm also a modern day performing strongman. He's like, what's that? I'm like, well, I bend steel bars, I break chains, I roll up frying pans, all as part of a live show. He's like, get out of here. You really do that? I'm like, yeah, I really do that. He's like, you have anything here? As a matter of fact, I do. So I pull out a frying pan and I roll it up for him. And then I give it to him as a souvenir and get out of a ticket that way. And I've also bent wrenches when I've gotten pulled over too.
That's so great.
Yeah.
So there you go, everybody. There's a tip. Carry around a couple nails and a couple wrenches. Get out of a ticket.
You just never know. And if you can break handcuffs, that helps too.
Oh man, yeah, for real. Yeah. Do you do that too?
I've only done it once or twice in a show.
Wow. Yeah. I just saw someone do that on forget what it was, but that I haven't seen that before. That was a pretty crazy one.
It'll probably be in one of my Feats of Strength Friday series.
Nice.
You know, that's, I don't know. I'll put it in there at some point. I'll run out of ideas before that.
Nice. All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
Chris Ryder.
Boom. Working on it.
And David Whitley.
Okay. Working on that one too. All right. Tips and advice for beginner benders.
Reach out to Chris Ryder.
Awesome. And where can people, where can people find you on social media?
Well, if you go onto YouTube, you just type in my name and Feats of Strength Friday, that'll pop up. if people are looking for my website for performances, it's strongmanericmoss.com. If they're in the local area and they want to get trained, ericmossfitness.com. My Instagram handle is strongman_ericmoss. Facebook, I think, is the same. I have no idea what I did with TikTok. I don't really use it that much. I don't use Twitter that much either.
Yeah. Well, people will be able to find you just with your name.
Yeah.
All right. And any events, brands, or gear you want to shout out, or anybody doing, like, I know Chris does, like, some remote training options. Maybe Dave does those too. I don't know if you're offering anything like that, but anything you want to shout out, go ahead.
I basically, anybody who wants to learn strongman feats, I just refer them to Chris. You know, cool. He can help them far better than I can. There's my book. I'd like to give a shout out for the book. Also, I am available for virtual performances. I'll be filming that one. I'll be filming one on this coming Wednesday. Hopefully awesome. That goes well. That'll be filmed right here in my studio.
Before we go, tell me a little bit about the book and where people can find it.
Well, it's on Amazon. It's called The Performing Strongman's Experience, which is similar to what my show is called. And it's basically my story, my memoir of coming into the wonderful world of bending steel, breaking chains, and eliminating people's limiting beliefs while leaving a trail of destruction in my wake. And so far, every person that's read it has loved it. And I don't think they're just telling me that. I was like, I really want to do a good job with this book.
That's great. That's so cool. All right, Eric. Well, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad we finally got the schedules to work out.
I know. There's been a couple guys that just have a similar conflict, and I appreciate you bearing with me, and people are going to like this one. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me. It was an honor.
Talk soon.
Yeah.